We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We start in verse 24. Title is Run the Race. Run the Race. The last two weeks, we've been looking at scriptures dealing with the apostles' rights, the ministers' rights. The last section here is to challenge all ministers, all believers. Now, I will tell you this. If you're a believer, you're in ministry. So that includes all of us. All of us. These scriptures will touch every believer, as all the scriptures do. We do see some insight into Paul's heart and his life, which I believe gives us an example to follow and a way to follow. And I want to remind you again, you are in ministry as a believer. You are in ministry. So this message is for you. Definitely, definitely. During this time, I want us to understand, and I really got into this when I was doing a study and looking into it, because we have the Olympics going on right now. During this time in Corinth, when this letter was written, there were games held biannual, and they were really close to the city of Corinth. They were not quite as big as the Olympic Games, but they did feature athletic, the horse equestrian, musical events, and the victors were crowned with a wreath. They had a wreath that they would receive. This reason, Paul, what he writes here, the people there at Corinth could understand what he's talking about when we look at the scriptures here, and could relate to him telling him about winning this wreath. Today we get the athletes get gold medals, trophies, all sorts of different things. So Paul makes a comparison for Christian ministers and believers to the athletes and the competitors in these games, and they could understand and relate to it. Just as we can look at the Olympics that are going on conveniently right now for my message. Wasn't that amazing how they do that? I thank them for scheduling during my time here. As believers, we are to discipline just as the athletes do. They did it then, they do it now. And I'm going to show you what we're talking about. So let's read these sections that we're looking at here. Paul says, verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So I'm going to ask questions of you. Keep them to yourself, of course, the answers. But I want you to answer them to yourselves. So this goes out to everybody. Do you see yourself in a race right now? Or are you a spectator? What's Paul say? Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but one receives it, so the prize, so run to win it? Believers, Christians, you're still in a race. This is what Scripture's telling us. Until the Lord takes us home. And we're going to see what he's talking about. Now, I know, I understand that age, health can affect a person, that they may not be able to actually physically run the race, but we can do other things. You can help with the running in the race, those that are running in the race. Help those that are in that race. You can coach them. You can encourage them. You can support them. So as we look at runners, and then he does talk about swinging in the air, boxers. There are people supplying them with food and water. Have you ever seen the races, marathons? They're handing the cups of water as they're going by to keep their runner going. There are people that are patching them up. You know, when you do the running, there's sometimes you'll fall. Or if you're in a boxing match, guess what? You're going to take a few shots. And you need their guys there to patch them up. One of the things that I strongly remember when I was meeting with Western District Region for all of the United States, and they're talking about how did I see myself in this church. And my vision was that we were a hospital on the front lines. And we're going to patch up, we're going to help any person comes in. They may need just a little Band-Aid. Or they may need major surgery. That's the way I viewed this. We're a hospital here to help all those. And that's why I looked at it. Well, you think about this. We're here also to help train each other. I mean, runners need training. Boxers need training. Any athlete, pick whatever sport you want, they got to go into training, right? This is what Paul's telling us as believers. So let's look at that you're in the race. Remember, we're going for that imperishable wreath. All runners, and you think about a race, all runners are going to run, right? If you're in a race, you're going to run. And we could almost use any sport you want. If you're in that race, if you're in that sport, you want to win, right? Look at the Olympics. I guarantee you nobody's going, well, I'm just happy to be here. No, they want to win. They're doing everything they can to win. They're training. They're putting themselves through intense to win the race, to win that prize, that gold medal. Now, you think about running and all that, and I'm going to use running. You can go into all the different sports. You work hard in training, very hard. My son is a runner. He runs marathons. He runs all these races. He is running every day, all the time, training, training, training. And he wants to, he's over 40 now, which I remind him of that. That, okay, he's not going to win a marathon with 20-year-olds. No. But he's always trying to improve his times. Always trying to improve his times. And he actually runs Ironman, where you got to run a full marathon, you swim, and you ride a bike, and it's like 120-some miles you're doing this. So he does a lot of training for that. And I got to tying that in. How much training are we doing Christian-wise? We're in a Christian race. You're in a race. And we're to run diligently. We're to train ourselves, and as we get older, our physical training changes, but we still need to train. We're in that race. That's what Paul's saying. We're in that race to share the gospel, the good news. Now, I will say this. We're in that Christian race. We want to win the prize. We want to bring people to Christ. The most important training a Christian can do is time with God. In prayer and in His Word. Remember, this is the only book that is written by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. So this is the book that we need to read. You want to find out something? It's amazing. In my prayer each and throughout all the day, the next day or the next time I pick up the Word, God is answering and telling me. It's absolutely amazing to me. So are we spending time in prayer and in His Word? That's another question for us. But don't answer it out loud, please. Because all the questions I'm asking, we look at ourselves. We don't want to look at somebody else and say, well, that person, I'm doing better than that person. No, don't do that. Each person needs to look at themselves. So let's say, what does Scripture say about the two things? What does Scripture say about prayer? Well, how much are we really to pray? You know, you give an idea. Well, I'll tell you what Scripture says. Put it for me, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Three words is in that verse. Pray without ceasing. That sets the bar really high, don't it? When you think about it, that's like, oh, that's a lot of prayer, isn't it? That's a lot of prayer. Do we obtain that? I don't think there's anybody that does. I mean, that's nonstop. But what I'm saying is, this is what, that prayer is your time, you and God. Think about this. God, who created the entire universe, spoke the universe into existence, wants time with you personally. That's amazing to me, folks, that God would want to talk to me. He wants to talk to you just the same. So what about spending time in His Word? Does Scripture tell us what we're to do there? Sure, put up first for 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God, the Holy Spirit inspired, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. As you read this, you are receiving training in righteousness. Wow. It's profitable to read His Word. You know, and people say, well, I don't know where to start. If you've never read the Bible, I'll tell you, start with the book of John. Simple. And you go, well, how much am I to read? Whatever you want. Read a verse, read a paragraph, read a chapter. Just start and start to let God speak to you. He will. Also put up Acts 17:11 for me, please. Here's where Paul's talking about in this. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So he tells us that church, they were examining the Scriptures monthly? No, daily. Were they examining the Scriptures only on Sunday mornings? Daily. Daily. Also, that's why I'll tell you, all of you, whatever, when I'm preaching, I want you following. I want you checking me to make sure I'm right online. I'm human. I could make a mistake. I go to great deals not to. Understand, we're in a race. And we want to finish the race. And we want to receive the prize. Put up Philippians 3 for me, please. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of what? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. And I think that's one of the most glorious things. Do you realize that when you go to heaven, you're going to receive a crown? A crown that doesn't fade? A crown. That's amazing to me. Because what Paul says in verse 25, he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. That's a perishable, means it's going to, you get a wreath now, they'll die and boom. But we, an imperishable. We're an imperishable. I do believe that this section right, this verse right now is talking about we need to discipline ourselves. We need to discipline ourselves. We're to discipline our mind, our body, our spirit. We're to train. We are to train. The body, guess what? We age. We can't absorb the tough training that maybe we could when we were earlier. So we walk instead of a hard run. Every exercise that is, I'll say, geared for our age. And we're training our body also. It's also what we eat. Bingo, this is where I struggle. Okay? Some people have great control over what they eat. I struggle. I fight. I ask God to help me every day. I like sweets. I like food. I struggle with it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Some people I know don't. I worked with a guy that was a little taller than I was, thin as a rail. And he'd eat 2 or 3 donuts before work. Oh, Greg, you know, eating a donut, I'd go, I'm gaining weight watching you eat the donuts. This is not right. I'd ask God, this is not fair, God. But we all have things that we struggle with, by all means. Our minds. Think about this on your mind. Ask yourself this question. What are you reading? What are you listening to? And what are your thoughts on? Understand, everything in the world here, it's passing away. Passing away. Kingdom thoughts is everlasting. The glory of God, the kingdom of God, is forever. Look how much this life here has changed in the last 20 years. Oh, some of us may even know the last 50 years. How much things have radically changed. We're to strive, we're to work hard at this. Now understand, God didn't say it'd be easy. He didn't say, oh, it's a piece of cake, don't worry about it. No, it's hard work. You ever notice when you want to pick up the Bible and you want to read it? Dog wants out, phone rings. Oh, there's a good program on. All to distort you from that. Understand, it is tough. I do. Our body, we have to understand, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God. God the Spirit dwells in the believer. It's amazing. We should not allow anything to touch a body that is corrupt, impure, anything that can cause us problems. And this includes a lot of things. Understand, the world is passing away. Put up Romans 12 for me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the will of God for you? Each one of us. What is that? So what about our mind? And what about our thoughts? We're to train and work hard on feeding our mind with the goodness of God. That's what it's all about. Our thoughts are to be kingdom thoughts. Look at Romans 8 for me, please. For those who live according to the flesh. Now this is talking about people who want nothing to do with God. This is talking about people that don't care about God. What's it say? For those who live according to flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Put our minds, focus our minds on the kingdom, on Christ and His kingdom. This is important for us. And I've said this many, many times. Every one of you believers, all believers, you're in ministry. Your ministry could be being a great wife, taking care of your husband, your family. That's a ministry. It could be worship. It could be preaching. It could be whatever God has called you to do. We're to do whatever He calls us to do. He doesn't call everybody to be worship leaders. I would have failed. I can't sing. So we understand that. But we are to serve others. This separates us from the world. The world is self-centered. Think of myself. We're to think of others first. Oh, there's one piece of pie left. Do I get it or? Yeah. oh, I should get in there and get that because there may not be enough of that left, right? Whatever the case. Are we thinking of others? What about getting that great parking spot? You know what? I can still huff it pretty darn good. I can walk and all that. I'll park out there. Let the people who can't come park. Think about these things. We're thinking of others first. I want us to understand we're to have kingdom thoughts and serving others. And I guarantee you this, it does not go in vain. Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go to the end of this book, 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Serving the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Whatever that serving is, it could be your hospitality. That's your ministry. It could be you're a prayer warrior. That's your ministry. Whatever it is, whatever God calls you. Paul was relating this all to games as athletes would win a wreath. He went around them. It was a green wreath. And today's winning is, we know, is a medal, trophy, whatever. Olympics, it's a medal. And it was really sad. It was a few years back. I remember reading an article that they asked Olympic athletes if they could take a drug that would guarantee them a gold medal, but they would die in 5 years, would they take it? It was almost all for something that perishes. I was shocked. Understand, as Christian believers, we receive an imperishable crown. It is the crown of life. Today, medals, trophies, all that, they perish away. But what does not is the crown the believer receives. It never perishes. You will wear a crown forever. I have no idea what it's going to look like. No idea. But it's a crown from God forever. You will be rewarded with a crown of eternal life with God. I've tried to figure out, folks, when we go to heaven where there's no sin, I can't picture it. Because everything in this world now is sinful. It is. Scripture tells us. When man fell into sin with Adam, the world also fell. That's why everything dies, decays. Our, us. Remember how strong you were in your 20s? 30s? How much hair you had? I can tell you that. The most prized crown any person can have, the absolute best crown you can ever have, is the crown of life from God. Put it for me, 1 Peter 1, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from dead. To an inheritance. Here's our inheritance. I know everybody knows what that is. That it is an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading kept for you in heaven. That's if you're a believer. That's if you're a believer. That's what's coming for you. I have no idea what it is. All I know is that the scripture says whatever Christ gets, we get. That's pretty cool. Also, put up 2 Timothy 4:8 for me, please. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appealing. Folks, I encourage you. That's the crown you want to strive for. That's the crown we're looking for. That's the race. Think about it. You can win all, make all the money in the world, have the biggest mansion in the world. 50 years from now, is it still going to be yours? No. No. It isn't. Nothing. They always say nothing lasts forever. Well, that does. That's why I encourage you. And you say, you know what? I'm not really sure about this Christian thing. Well, I'll tell you what. Ask God to come into your life and see what happens. It's that simple. It is truly that simple. Verse 26, Paul goes on and he says, so I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as one beating the other. I think this is really good. He's talking about keeping focused on the Christian race. When you're running a race, think about it at the Olympics. They get on that track and you all start staggered and they're going to run. You know where you're going, right? You got to follow that because you're going to that finish line. You stay on the track. You don't go up into the stands. You don't go off course. You have to stay in your lane. Paul knows he's in a race. Do you know that you're in a race? Believers, do you know that? Are you striving for that prize? Are your eyes on that finish line? I hope so. Or are you eyes wandering? Looking at all the fancy things of the world can offer you. Are you not staying on course? Struggling to stay on course? Yeah. Then Paul refers to the boxer. Are you focused on your target you're hitting? Think about a boxer. He's not just going up against this guy and going like this over here. He's focused on who he is up against. And they don't walk out in the middle of a fight. They don't do that. They're fighting to win. Sometimes the Christian walk, you got to fight. Sometimes it's, and I'm not talking physical fight. Not at all, ever. But I'm talking about you got to fight hard. The world has great temptations. Are you focused on the target? Are you swinging at your target wildly? Or are you strategizing how you hit, how you do it? Think about the boxers. They don't do that. He plans his punches. He's planning what he's doing. They're controlled punches. They're tactical punches. That's us. We just don't run aimlessly throughout everything. Do you realize that you are in a spiritual warfare? We do not fight against flesh and blood. When people are evil and all this, that is, they're not, they don't have their eyes on the Lord. They're not with the Lord. We're not fight on that. The spiritual warfare requires what? What is the most important thing? Strong prayer. When you're in that battle, you're in that fight, you better be on your knees. That's where victory is in Christ Jesus. In that prayer. You have to be a prayer warrior. You have to be in the Christian race. Are you up to the task? Each of us has to answer that or our question ourselves. If you think you're lacking in prayer, okay, I thought of three things that you can do to help yourself. Number one, the easiest one, God help me. Lord, I know I don't pray as much as I should. Remember the bar that was set, pray without ceasing? Lord, can you help me? Lord, help me so that I can pray more. And I think about you more. Two, ask the Holy Spirit to lead your prayer. Don't say, God, I want this yacht and this mansion. No, God, what's your will for me in my life? What do you have for me? What do you want me to pray about, Lord? And third, thinking about prayer at various times through the day. Excuse me. Various times. Say, okay, I used to always pray at this time. I want to add some more different times. You know? Stay focused and work at it. Look at Ephesians 6:12 for us, please. Understand this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's who we fight against. You can only fight against that on your knees in prayer or sitting praying. Are we being controlled? Think about this. Are we being controlled by our body, or are we controlling our body? Are we doing? What are we doing? Are we staying focused? I hope so. You know, and I'd say, what is your body craving? Is it craving more closeness with God? I guarantee you positively right now you can take this bank. If you ask God that you want more time with Him, you want to be closer to Him, He'll do it. God, who created this entire universe, everything, wants to be close with you. If you're like me, I can't understand that. Why would He want to spend time with me? But He does. He does. And as I was preparing to this, I know where I struggle. I ask God to help me. I do think we all need to work on our discipline in various areas of our lives. I do. But then Paul says here, in the last verse, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We don't want to be disqualified. Not only does Paul preach the gospel, he lives it. You're a minister. All of us are in ministry. You get a chance to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. Live it. What are the two commandments? Love the God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's our only commandments. We want to do that. We want to live that gospel, but there are times when we fail. We sin. But I want us to understand, we have this sinful nature in us, and that's going to happen. I want to remind you, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. As a believer, there's nothing that can separate you. And I found when you fall down in a race, do you fall down in a race? Yeah, sometimes they do. Do you take a beating because you didn't strategize that boxing tournament or whatever? Yeah, they do. Do they get punched out, knocked out or whatever they call it? Yeah, you do sometimes. But God is there to pick you up, brush you off, and let's get going. Let's get going. Because I want you to understand, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that's what I want you to remember. As ministers, and I say this to every one of you, you're a minister. We're to preach righteousness. We're to live it. It's hard work, but it's good work. And guess what? Discouragement comes. It does. When you see failure after failure, you don't give up. Keep striving. You're praising God every step. There are times you want to throw the towel in, just like a boxer. You don't do it. You keep going. There's times you're running so hard, you may be getting so tired in a race, you want to give up. Don't do it. You keep going. Paul struggled against sin his entire life. So we will struggle with sin our entire lives. It's going to happen. Okay, welcome to the crowd. It's all of us. We will strive, though, to conquer the flesh by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Praise God, He gave us His Spirit. And I'll say this again. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It is written in His Scriptures. Put up Romans 8 for me, please. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger or sword, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you go through, it will not separate you from the love of God. Period. Ever. And God will keep you, guaranteed, to the day of redemption when he comes to take you home. He will do it. It's not on your strength, it's on his. Put up for me Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Jesus Christ is going to do that. He's going to present you before our Holy Father. I encourage you. I really encourage you. Stay in the race. Run the race. Continue to seek God through prayer and his holy word. It is all worth it. I guarantee that. You know what? If you look at the scriptures and you read the scriptures, Christ came about 2,000 years ago, around that. And if you read in here, they keep saying not long till he comes back his second time. He came the first time to save man. Comes the second time to judge. If you are a believer, if you've asked Christ into life, you're not judged. You're not judged. We're getting close to the end. All you got to do is watch Israel. What's happening in Israel? That's the whole center thing. You can see things happening. And when you see what Revelation and all this tells about what's going to happen at the end times, we're getting there very, very close. And things are changing rapidly. Think about how things have changed in 50 years. My goodness. Everybody's got a cell phone now, right? Gee, when I was a kid, we didn't even have pagers yet. You want to get a hold of somebody, you can call them on the phone. They ain't there. You know where they're at? No, I ain't child over here. Think about all that stuff, that's how things are changing so rapidly. I still remember the day a friend of mine came up to me, Greg, you know, we'll be able to walk around with a phone out in the middle field and talk to anybody in the world. And I thought, dude, no, that ain't going to happen. Now on that phone of yours, you have more data than all the encyclopedias, all the books that you can have. Things are changing fast. But I want you to understand one thing. There is going to be, in the end times, a great falling away. A great falling away is going to occur. Scripture says it. The scripture that came upon me about this great falling away, you know, we're blessed. We're living in a time of grace. We're living in a time of grace. God has, everybody's got a Bible there in every motel room, everything. We have the Holy Word with us all the time. There's going to come a time where it may not be there. You better know it. You better know your scriptures. And you ever catch yourself, somebody will say something and you go, no, it says here, this, and this. Where's that? Well, I'm not sure. I think it's in Ephesians, could be in Galatians. That's good. You're remembering. God's word doesn't go void. It's a planet in your heart. But I want you to put, I want to put up the scripture that came upon me that we need to really look at. Look at Amos chapter 8, verse 11. God says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Think about that, folks. It's coming. It's coming. Who cares about the food and water? Hearing the words of the Lord. Are we tired of hearing the words of the Lord? I hope we never do. Ask God to draw you closer by His words. Ask God to draw you closer by prayer. Ask God to help you. We want to finish this race and receive our crown. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for this time we've had to study your word. I praise you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Your word is all powerful, and I praise you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. And Lord, as we sing this last song of praise and worship to you, receive it. Receive our praise, receive our thanksgiving, receive our exaltation of you, Lord. Thank you, God, for drawing us closer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the worship team would come forward, please. That's it. Well, we're all a team. We do sing, right? Some of us not as good.